man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
This episode of the
K-Guns Last Kicker
is brought to you by
Guy's Note
and Victor Wrench
and Plastic Object.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Show number 339. It is October. What is today? 22nd?
All day.
2019. Happy Tuesday, Matt.
Happy Tuesday, Dustin.
We are not at the temple tonight. We are out in Dallas at our practice space that I don't even know what this place is called.
I thought we were supposed to keep it on the down low.
I guess we are supposed to keep it on down low. We're not supposed to say where it's at, but if you know where the spectacle practice is, then that's
in
where we are.
Roswell.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
So this is our last practice before, possibly our last practice before our big show this weekend. It is the Dufort Halloween show is upon us.
Yep.
And are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Is it finally feeling like it's all coming together?
No.
Josh is with us.
I hope it's the last practice because I'm tired of listening to Korn.
Is that the bad thing of this? Is that what we've tortured ourselves with? Is listening to Korn as much as we've had to?
It's the audible abuse of listening to the same freaking band that over. I really didn't like that much to begin with.
And over.
And over.
And over. How about doing it twice? Like, I've had to listen to Korn and System of a Down on repeat nonstop.
At least there's some variety.
Yeah, that's true. But System of a Down, I think, only plays seven notes. Every song is... They're like the AC/DC of fucked up hard rock.
I think listening to Korn over and over again has raised my estrogen levels. From Jonathan Davis.
Now you want to fuck yourself? Or do you want your daddy to come fuck you? Or your uncle?
I'll take neither option. Hard pass on both.
It is a hard pass on both. I meant to tell you. Look right outside the door. Did you see my bag out there?
Mm-hmm.
Can you grab it?
Yes.
There's good stuff in there. I brought two things for you, sir, in that bag. And I brought something maybe for you.
I brought something for Stubbs because he told me to 40 times.
Well, I don't bring drugs and give drugs to my friends. Oh, your penis? Oh, and we also have this. Which do you want first? Do you want what's in this bag or do you want what's in the box? Matthew.
The box.
So you got a box sent to my house. It says, "To Stubbs, care of Diamond Dustin." It was sent there. There's no name on it. Although from the handwriting, I've done heavy handwriting analysis, mm-hmm. and I think I know who it's from.
I think I know who it's from, too.
Do you need a knife?
Is this... ticking? Should I leave the room before he opens
it? I'm going to show you. Oh, is my goatee coming off again? I've got to figure this out. So, this is my new knife. Don't kill yourself with it. Watch what happens. Don't. No. Move your hand. Slide that up. There you go. There you go.
My hand's good?
You're good. All right. You can open it.
Is this part of your costume?
It's not part of my costume.
You did.
Did you buy that at Trader's Village?
Do I talk like this the whole time? No, that is a Microtech knife. That is not a Trader's Village knife.
It's a Microtech knife.
A very expensive knife. And it's Boba Fett, as you can see.
Cut away, huh?
Ralph.
Cut away from you, cut towards you, cut whichever way you feel safe. But just don't open that into your hand.
This?
Yeah. There was a guy selling one online, and he opened it up with it next to his thigh, and it went straight into his leg. What is that?
A tuner.
It's got to be from Ray.
It says, Stubbs.
Use
birthday.
The mic. You're talking to the microphone so we can hear you.
I'm scared of this. Here. Isn't that bad luck?
Grab the microphone and read what it says. Let's see.
It says, Stubbs, happy birthday. This is a tuner, Marlin. And it's on some music theory paper.
To show you how to properly tune your guitar? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Marlin. Thank you for my tuner. I will make sure that I use it someday.
It's genius. That's genius. Is that because you're out of tune last year?
I don't know. Probably.
Right. And in this bag, I brought. Now, have you had one of these yet?
Ooh.
What is it, the peanut butter Temptress? No.
Peanut butter Temptress.
I've been selling it like crazy, but.
Yes.
I've never even heard of that.
I found some peanut butter Temptress. Now, here's the thing. When you drink this, when you open it, do not shake the bottle. It is overcarbonated, and it will explode and go everywhere. Do you want this one?
Yes.
It'll explode.
If you're okay with parting with that.
I'm okay. I've already had two. They come in packs of four.
Do you have a bottle opener over there?
I thought there was one up there. Is there not?
There's a letter over here.
So there's a peanut butter Temptress. I don't know. Where are my keys at? Here you go. That'll help that. As we just sit on the floor in crisscross applesauce, because you can't see. There it goes. Start sucking. It is overcarbonated. They overcarbonated the shit out of that Temptress. And I think they put an apology.
You're welcome, Andy.
Online.
Nothing got on your grill.
Did you know you can't say Indian style anymore?
You can't?
No.
It's called crisscross.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yep.
You can't. And then.
Oh, that's good.
There's these devils.
Oh, yes. I haven't had one of those yet, so.
After you drink the peanut butter.
You get to have one finally?
Yay!
Did I tell you there was this little taco shop that had a six barrel of that for a while?
Really?
On my route? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you did. They said they ran out of it really quick.
Oh, yeah, it was gone. Like, they already had the tap handle off and everything. Oh, jeez.
Wow, you got another birthday gift.
Thank you.
Just a hug.
Thank you.
Did you do anything exciting this weekend on your birthday?
No.
Nothing at
all? I hung out with my daughter.
Well, that's exciting, right?
Yeah, considering the month I've had, very exciting.
It was cool.
Did she teach you how to tune your guitar?
Nothing.
Yeah. No. Did y'all do anything cool?
No, she gave me a paper cut on the top of my ear, though.
Well, was that her birthday gift from you?
Can you see that?
I can. Monster? I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
it's
her
like,
birthday?
Happy birthday!
Happy
Here's
birthday
a paper cut. Here's a paper cut on the most sensitive part of your face, almost.
Snack.
Snack. I'm like, ow.
So you didn't go anywhere? Would y'all nothing?
Well, I took her out to a nice dinner, and then we went and got some nice ice cream.
How old is
and
she
then
now?
I worked. I worked all day Arts Goggle at the little beer festival in Old Louisville, and it was really cool.
How old's your daughter?
She's six.
And she didn't take you out for a nice dinner?
She did.
She couldn't have paid for this?
She did. She
with her money she makes?
She had baby octopus for the first time ever and loved it.
Hey, tell me about this.
Wait, you fed her calamari?
I did.
Ooh, rad.
What was the ice cream that you guys had?
The ice cream is a really cool place. It's like this. It's called the Creamistry. It's supposed to be like a chemistry lab. It's all there's a bunch of dry ice and shit in there. And basically, it's all gourmet. It was good. She got the unicorn. I didn't get anything, and I was like, "You sure you don't want that? The s'mores one?" Or the cookies and cream one? And she's like, no, I want the unicorn with the unicorn dust. It was basically just strawberry ice cream with a bunch of sugar and syrup
shit thrown on it to wire her up.
Yeah, and she was.
So she wouldn't let you pick for your birthday? It was.
I didn't really want any because I had stuffed my face at the restaurant because she didn't eat one lick of her meal. Like, I took her to, I forgot the name of the place, but it was cool. We sat outside and it was over by my apartment, so we got to watch all the badass cars being valeted and shit.
So do you suffer from lost food complex?
Yeah. What's that?
Where your kid doesn't eat the food and you bought it, so damn it, someone's going to eat it.
Someone's going to eat it. That's the way it's like my grandpa. I think I got it from my grandpa because he was like a
garbage disposal.
Garbage disposal, yeah.
Not a trash compactor.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, if stuff's in our fridge for a while, I love leftovers. I don't know. And it sucks because I come out of a relationship where she loved to leave leftovers and didn't care. Like, she would always bring stuff home, and I was like, okay, that's mine later on. And now I'm in a place where it's every man for himself.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, if there's leftovers and you get caught eating the wrong leftovers, you're losing a finger.
I was going to say, is that... Okay, so when you said every man for himself, I was like, so that means leftovers are just wide open for whoever wants them?
Or... No. Opposite.
Opposite. If you get caught eating someone else's leftovers,
yeah,
you'll
die. Yeah,
I
said that wrong.
So you have to write your name on your food?
Your name, date on it and stuff.
It's like a work... place
a work refrigerator.
Yes, so it's like I went from one extreme to the other. So, no, whatever, fuck. But it was cool. It was chill. And then I did the little beer festival in Old Louisville.
Now was this their Oktoberfest?
No, it was all the local breweries. It's like a contest for all the local breweries, all the craft places. Not like we went. These are actual craft breweries, like.
Oh, so it's not like the homebrew.
No, it's not a homebrew.
Ours
it's
like was the homebrew thing.
Yeah. It was cool.
Was the new that Noble Ray out there? Were they out there hawking their stuff yet? They're still kind of rehabbing.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I know someone that's involved with them.
Oh, you do? Are we not allowed to talk about them?
No, we can talk about them. It's just same story as the last group, it sounds like.
Can we get a Methinks beer?
Maybe. I might be able to hook us up with a Methinks beer somewhere, actually. But especially since I just got a phone call from my boss, and I could very well be losing my job tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, it's just, you know, business. So
whatever. Yeah. You won't lose your job.
I've gotten to the point of this new gig that I'm like...
Already?
It's not because I don't like doing it. It's because I think there's a lot of making it harder than it is kind of going on, and it's like... People think that it's the end of the world, you know people are.
At least the flesh isn't coming off your hands anymore.
That's right, but I could be right back to doing that pretty soon. So
Goals.
We had a coworker today walk in at the end of the day and go,
I want to kill myself?
Just about. He goes, since everybody's in here, can I have your attention? And luckily, my seat is right next to the door, and I start kind of easing my way like I'm... about to sprint out the door in case he pulls out a gun and starts shooting people.
Because it's got to be that obvious.
It's close. I mean, the company I work for, that's very easy. We can put it in the parking lot.
In the office, I mean.
We can't carry it in the office.
There's some places that you can't even have it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got into big arguments about
it. I bet you guys have some crazy-ass rules about it.
It's not inside the door, but...
Yeah. That's the way ours is.
You're not going to tell 400 employees in Texas to not have their gun in the car. Yeah. Then no one will show up to work.
Oh, no. There was a big argument at my job about the whole work thing, workspace.
Because y'all go to some dicey areas, too.
Well, it's also different. Like, if you're out of town, like when I was down in Houston for Hurricane Ike, they told us you can do whatever you need to do to protect yourself.
Yeah.
We can't tell you what you can and can't have on you, but do whatever you need to do to protect yourself. And that's when all of us just went, okay. And ran down over by the Galleria in Houston and bought a bunch of guns. That guy saw us coming and was like, oh, shit. So, no, we got into a big argument at our job about whose law supersedes what. Because my company says that their laws supersede any federal or state laws.
Oh, yeah.
And we just laughed in their fucking face. Because they told us we couldn't have a gun in our personal vehicle on property.
See, the NFL is kind of the technically same thing the dope rules.
Parking lot is rules. Their property.
Your vehicle is not their property.
See, the NFL is kind
it's
of
your property on their
your
property.
Your property on their property.
Right.
And by state law, you can have you can park on any company's property as long as your weapon stays in your vehicle. It's fine.
It's kind of the same NFL thing.
Why would they not want you to have it in your vehicle? Well,
because my company's a bunch of dickholes. But anyway, today this guy comes in, coworker. He walks in and he goes,
it's a good excuse.
I'm glad all y'all are here. I just wanted to make a quick announcement that November 15th will be my last day. I'm done with this shithole.
And I was like, yes. We all just turned
to him.
Had he
already
like,
given his
holy
two
crap.
Weeks, like, to someone else, or was that it?
That was pretty much it. That this is my 2 weeks. Here we go.
Hey, by the way, everybody, fuck off.
By the way, fuck off. But then we were all like, wait. No, just stay here another month and a half. If you let your next year go into it, you get all your vacation time. And then you just leave for, it's like 8.5 weeks.
Yeah, why didn't he do that?
Holy cow.
Why didn't he do it? He just
dude, I've known people that I worked with this one lady that
he was tired of all the bullshit up there.
This lady quit a month before bonuses paid out.
That's
at
dumb.
My job.
And was it a hefty bonus?
Well, I mean, it's a couple, you know, a couple G's to walk away from.
Yeah.
Like, you just stick it out 30 days. Heck, you got probably 2 weeks of sick time stored up. I mean,
you know,
blow through that.
You know what my problem is? I'm finding out in life.
Poor planning.
I'm good at my job, and I'm good at everything I do. Like, no matter what I go into, I get it. Sometimes it doesn't. It takes a little longer, but within about a year, I get the whole gist of everything and do it really well. And then I always freak out my bosses because they think that okay, this guy's fucking learning too quick, and so they start playing head games with me. And I also don't
have
that.
Well, like, you're going to take their job?
Right. That's happened to me about 3 different places. And then the other thing is I also – there's something in my head, and I don't know where I got it from. And I've heard it's a good thing to have, but I've also heard it's a bad thing to have. My job is not me. When people say, what do you do? I don't go, oh, I'm a sales rep for so-and-so. I don't say that because that's not what I do. That's not you. It's what you do to make money.
Yeah.
But like you're a photographer.
And that's what I say.
You're not
normally
a,
I say.
Yeah. If someone ever says, what do you do?
I'm a photographer.
Yeah, you're a photographer. You're not your job. It's this. It's so our country is so obsessed with titles.
Yeah.
And like the whole 17 titles now for two different, like almost the same damn position, like the assistant president, CEO, like all that. It's all a bunch of
the
garbage.
Assistant regional manager?
Right.
To the region.
It's a people that has – it's people that have padded their resumes, and so they have to make – like their resumes are what's valuable, not their fucking work knowledge. And it's like I have the gumption – I really like to do a good job for any company that I work with. But if I start getting into head games and stuff, that's when I start fucking like – that's when I start like, hey – you guys can work this out in your own head. I'm good with just coming in, doing my work, and going home. This isn't me. And I think sometimes that is a stumbling block as well as – like it also makes me successful at a lot of things, but it also can be a stumbling block at times because if you have weak-minded managers, people that are over you, they fucking – they either intimidates the shit out of them or they know how to use it because they're a good leader and they use you to your fullest capability.
And that's – that's kind of what I'm going through right now, and that's what's burning me out is me and the guy I work with, which you know, like we're given all the hardcore shit jobs because we know how to figure them out and make them work. Yeah. We're the competent ones to be able to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you do that every once in a while, but when you do that all the time, and there's always a deadline, and you go months without having like a kind of a lax job or something you can just kind of take a breather on and relax, it burns you out.
Yeah.
You get burnt out really, really, really quick.
Yeah.
And then everybody, it's kind of a weird thing, like people that are so dedicated to their jobs and they're so nitpicky and they want everything specifically done, you know, a certain way. And you're just like even the stuff that doesn't matter. Yeah. They want it done to a T. And you're just like, what does this do in your life? Like, this isn't important at all.
How do you get fulfillment out of playing head games at your job? How does that make you go home and sleep good?
Why is that so important that you want? Yeah, that's it. Why? Is that like it's hard to talk about this without saying the company I work for, but
oh, same here, man.
I had a second level boss.
The thing that's funny about my job too, though, is this: a lot of the people that we do business with, I'm finding out that you and I have connections with already because of this silly podcast.
Yeah.
And so if I get fucked over by this company, I mean, it's not. They're a big company. They got a lot of money and stuff. And but I tell you what, there's a lot of people that we know that started some of these places that are in business with these people and stuff. And they know me a lot better than they know these people that are my bosses and stuff. So
I think that
would make any bit of difference. But
I had a second level boss that. The first day we met him, he came in and he said, "Man, I used to get joy out of getting my coworkers in trouble when I worked down in Waco." And we're like, "What?
It's a nice
the
way to start a conversation?
Fuck? Really? That's what you're going to come in and that's how you're going to introduce yourself?" Well, then he was a complete dickhead. Complete. I got in so many arguments and fights with him. I got in grievance meetings. Took him up the union. All sorts of crazy bullshit. And after 3 years of knowing him, he got colon cancer. And
God, he's probably stressing himself out by doing that shit.
But a lot
shit.
Of people are like, karma.
Yeah.
You know, and then the whole card, like, you know, oh, feel bad for him, blah, blah, blah. Well, he took chemo, hardcore chemo, got over it, and it changed him.
Like it changed Scrooge effect?
It was the Scrooge effect. Like, it completely changed him to where he was a different person. He was more chilled, laid back, way friendlier. Like, the interactions I've had with him since then were always like, "Hey, Dustin, what's going on? Let's chit-chat. You know, how's the Cowboys, man? Let's blah, 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 blah." And he was way, way cooler. He was not a dickhead anymore. Well, then, found out today through the thread that I'm with, he's got stomach cancer now.
Good grief.
And get this shit. I've never heard of this ever because he started telling people the operation he's going to have at the beginning of the year. They cut him completely open, his chest completely open, take out all his organs, take out his stomach and intestines. Told you, that stuff foams up.
I can't even set it down, man.
Take out his stomach and intestines, split them open, and scrub the inside of them out, and then dip those organs in liquid radiation, sew them back up, and put them back in him. Have you ever heard of this? I've talked to other people about it, and they're like, yeah, I've heard people like that.
I was thinking that I was going to make a joke, like they took everything out and then kind of scrubbed them off and put them back in as a joke.
No, they're really doing that shit. I can't even imagine.
World, man. I bet you you're sore the next day for sure from that. Yeah.
Well, supposedly he goes into after the operation, it's mandatory ICU for a month.
I probably want some Tylenol.
You think?
You think?
I'd probably want some Advil after
a little
that.
Bit of that. You want one of those? Not one of those.
No.
So do they have
I
to
want
make
a lot of morphine?
Do you think they make a chart in what order they take the organs out to make sure that they put them back in the right order?
I would hope so.
They take pictures and like this.
Some dumb.
Which side does a gallbladder go on?
Some dumb doctor comes in and sneezes and just wipes everything. Like,
oh shit! Is there a Haynes manual? Like for a car?
Is it in French? It's in France. French, pull it up. French, and it's in Japanese and French. Spanish.
There's a little red nose.
Fuck! I really got the
guy. Every time you hit something wrong, it. I just can't imagine that shit. That blows my mind.
That's insane. I've never heard
the stuff
that level
they
of
do with technology and doctors and stuff now, and the whole, oh, we're going to fix your heart by going up through your thigh, and then the next day you can catch a plane. That blows
my
mind.
That's
what
crazy.
Happened to a friend of ours that went to the Mayo Clinic, got
remember
their heart
the dude, remember
worked
the dude,
on, and was on a plane the next day.
Remember Brittany's friend that had the heart attack? And it was dead for like 2 minutes, that Marty dude.
Yeah.
Well, man, he was out of the hospital like 3 days after his heart surgery. I'm like, Jesus, man, what has happened? Like, my grandpa and my father had to have heart surgery. And it was like 2 or 3 weeks. And this was just in the 90s. This wasn't like in the 90s and maybe the aughts. It's like the medical and science advancement and technology advancement in the last 10 years has like fucking time warped. It's crazy. And his scar, that dude's, my dad's scar goes like from here down.
Like they
and he had less
bipolar.
Right. And Marty's scar is like that big. Like you could barely see it. I'm like, Jesus, man.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. Did I tell you guys that story about last baseball season, the assistant coach that I was on the field with?
Don't tell me he got hit in the chest by a baseball.
No, he just fell over from a heart attack on the field. So we all jumped on him. There was about three or four of us.
Why? That, the poor guy's dying. Why'd you beat his jump ass?
Well, he deserved it. don't let the umpires get away with those calls.
Yeah.
No, but he had this freak like heart condition that you know developed that he didn't know about and just kind of keeled over on the field. It was first inning. So we jumped on. There was like three of us that jumped on and started doing CPR. We got a like immediately, and then we got a defib on him, but we weren't able to get a pulse back. So it was about four and a half minutes before an ambulance showed up.
Oh shit!
Which seemed like 45 minutes.
And did y'all keep compressions?
Yeah, the whole time.
The whole time.
And
did you crack a rib?
No.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, you don't always crack a rib, by the way. It's usually old people that you crack ribs on. But anyway,
Singer likes to crack ribs. He does.
Yes,
it daily,
he does.
Just about.
I like to
on touch people
ribs,
that don't even need ladies. CPR.
Wait till you hear that one.
So anyway, they the medics came out, got him kickstarted back up, and then he crashed again in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. Got him kickstarted again, and then they got him stabilized at the hospital. But I didn't know they did this, but they basically they put him in into a medically induced coma, and then they put him in a deep freeze, basically.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And what that does is I guess it focuses all the blood to the brain to make sure that there's no damage. Because when you're
so a couple of
but it worked.
Like last year, that's I read crazy. Millennium Falcon. You heard about that. I told you that, right?
The
book.
Book, yeah.
Yeah. And
please tell
it's
me
funny
how this goes back to medical.
Because like we're getting the Star Wars technology in the medical field.
Where
like,
you can sit in a back to tank?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was going to say. You get a back to tank, and then also the process that the guy goes through in Millennium Falcon is like he's in a terrible crash in the Millennium Falcon. Basically, they shoot out of it and they crash and all this. So
does Princess Leia save him by
no,
going?
This is a different shootout.
Angel.
Different shootout. No, this is this is on purpose. They hit the button.
Oh, and they eject.
The ejection jet or whatever. But the stuff that they go through like in detail as far as medically goes. Is like I'm like, dude, this is could probably happen now. Like this sounds a lot like how things would happen now if there was a terrible crash that someone survived, like the way they reprogrammed the guy and everything. So, but it has to do with my theory. This all has to do with my theory that science fiction is a man-made product, and we are headed towards all the things that we dreamed of and wrote about in Star Wars, Star Trek, all these sci-fi films and stories. It's because it came from our human brain. Well, guess what we're naturally gravitating towards? That.
Yeah.
So altered like, carbon is our future?
Could be.
We can change our bodies.
Well, we're on a
new sleeve.
Damn, they're there.
Get a new sleeve.
You can get a new dingus if you want, or get your dingus off.
They work.
You got a fieldy sleeve on right now.
Yeah, you have a fieldy sleeve. Fieldy you got someone else's skin.
Fieldy sleeve on. Speaking of crazy medical shit, this came out today. Qantas did a test. Have you heard about this, Mr. Aerospace Engineer guy?
Qantas. Okay.
The jet
did a test.
The jetliner that flies to Australia?
Yeah. They went the longest flight ever from Sydney to New York City. They want to make that a normal route. 19 hours and 16 minutes.
Awful.
On a Qantas
was that like two hours
787
longer?
Dreamliner.
That's 2 hours longer than it is now.
That's 2 hours. Well, that's like 3 hours longer than Dubai because I was 16. I was like 16 and a half hours.
Straight in the air?
Straight in the air.
That's awful. I wish that on No Man.
No. It was great. Emirates?
Were you in business?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Get in the back of the rest of the unwashed.
No. I don't ride with the chickens.
I don't either, but... I just imagine 19 hours in coach. Can you even walk the next day?
I never got bored on that flight. Like, you can get up and walk around. You do. They have all sorts of activities, stuff you can do. It was like...
Rock climbing wall?
No, they don't have that. No. You can get out and hang glide behind the airplane. They got a little rope, and they just throw it there, and you're like, wee! They reel you back in. It's like the parachute when you're out on the
ocean.
You hang
out like Tom Cruise out of the Mission Impossible movie.
You're at 40,000 feet, 35, between 35 and 40 international.
It's a little nippy up there.
Going over the North Pole with a parachute behind it, and you're just hanging out. Yeah! Selfie stick!
There's the North Pole, yo.
I'm totally going to gram this.
The paragliding or whatever.
Yeah,
that
the paragliding. Yeah.
I'm gonna
then they reel you back in and someone else goes back in.
Just
out.
Get a wingsuit with a drawstring.
That'd
in.
Be awesome. With a bungee cable.
Except at, what, 500 miles an hour? Your cheeks are wrapped around your ears.
Yeah, that's kind of fast. But so they did 19 hours, 16 minutes. It was a test flight with 45 people only. And the entire time, the pilots had all sorts of neuro sensors on them and heart sensors and all sorts of medical sensors on them to see how they
don't fly. Doing. They just sit there and manage equipment. They don't actually fly
Thank
the
you.
Airplane.
Thank you. Hold on. Sounds like it.
So if these are, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But and then the people that were on there, they had them do exercises and stuff and monitored them and.
Yeah, because you made sure they were okay. Right?
They had to, when they took off from New York, they were already on Sydney time, so they served them, even though it was dark, they served them lunch. And they tried to get them accustomed to Australia time in the air, so that way when they landed, they were fresh. Well, which I think they should do that on every international flight anyway.
I've never done that going east or west over the Atlantic. It's always the meal that you're of the place you're leaving.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea to get you ready on the way. So that way when you landed, you're good. They get you on that sleep schedule, you know.
Yeah.
And they said that even though the sun was coming up, they were flying with the sun, not against it. So when they left it dark, it kept the plane dark most of the flight. Mm. And when they started getting to Australia, the sun started coming up. So it felt, they tried to make it feel like, okay, you need to eat lunch now, walk around the plane, do whatever. Here's dinner. Now you need to go to sleep. And when you wake up, we'll serve you breakfast and the sun will be coming up. It'll feel, get you accustomed to that routine.
I'm trying to remember how they do it. Like when I go through Munich, when I leave here, it's usually like, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning or something. You get fed about 2 hours into the flight, but it's usually like a heavy lunch or maybe even a
what time you leave here at 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah. So you're eating around lunchtime, but it's more like a dinner, and then I usually just drink a whole bunch of Crown, pass out, and then wake up. And when you wake up, you're being served breakfast and you're landing in the morning. So it's only a 9 hour time difference. Or no, 7 hour time difference. But it's a 9 hour flight.
So every time I've flown to London into Heathrow to catch either another flight.
Horrible. Worst airport on the planet. Next to Charles de Gaulle, but yeah.
Heathrow's insane. That airport's way too big, and there's too many damn buses, and it's too weird, and there's, I don't know.
And it's not DFW.
And the tunnels go on forever. When it tells you, when you're standing at the main terminal, it says your flight is at gate such and such, it's a 25-minute walk, and you're like, what? And then you just go tunnel after tunnel after tunnel after tunnel after tunnel after tube after bridge. It's pretty fucking weird. But they don't, when you leave here, they don't care. There's no set schedule they're trying to get you on. It's like they serve you whatever and here's you a bunch of drinks, because I've flown over there in the day and at night. And
have you managed to go over there and sleep the whole time? Are you awake the whole time?
Coming home.
You sleep?
I've slept.
I do
it the opposite way. When we left Rome, I slept almost all the way home.
I've always you want to sleep on the way there, because when you land, it's the morning. But when you come back, you land late afternoon. If you sleep on the plane, you're screwed for days, because then you're trying to, it takes way longer to adjust your schedule. This is compelling.
It's always talk. It's always so harder to sleep going to the west.
See, I don't think I would ever suffer from jet lag, because my sleep schedule is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Mine is too. I mean, technically. Man, you're always excited. When you go somewhere, you're always excited anyway. Your body's amped up. Because you're like, all right, I'm going to go here. Yay. And you're going to be amped up when you land anyway.
Well, coming back last time I slept, because I was a little hungover from Oktoberfest.
If I would have known better, like when we went to Dubai, we were like, Shelby and I were both like, all right, when we get there, it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll run to the hotel. We'll get our stuff, you know, checked in, and we'll clean up, and we'll go hit the town. If I would have known the way Dubai really works is you sleep all day, and you're up all night. Because the temperature.
Perfect.
Yeah. They don't start doing stuff till about 9 p.m. And the malls and stuff are open till 4 a.m. So people don't start getting up and going till the sun's going down.
Which is basically on the same schedule you were on when you left. But
yeah.
I've never been to Dubai. It's really expensive there, isn't it?
No.
Really?
No, they hotels there. My hotel, we looked out our window to the Burj Khalifa. We were right there in the big main Wiz circle Khalifa? Around it. The Burj. Almost the Wiz. And it was $79 a night. Five-star hotel. $79. The place that's expensive is the six-star or seven-star, whatever the hell they is, the only hotel that has...
I said they have that many stars?
Six stars where it's $1,500 a night for the cheapest room. That place is... That's the big sale-looking thing. The other Burj. The Burj something. I forgot what it is. But yeah, most of the hotel rooms are pretty cheap. Taxis were cheap. Food was cheap.
Going.
Alcohol was hard to find.
Oh. Never mind. Scratch.
Hotel. You have to drink at a hotel.
That's not so bad.
But a 19-hour flight has been done, and they said that if this becomes regular, they can't do a full haul, a full loaded plane, because of gas first weight restrictions.
Yeah, just burning more gas the heavier you are.
So if you want to make this flight, it's going to cost you a shit ton of money. Do it.
But or they need to learn how to air refuel civilian airliners.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
They never done that?
Pull up behind them.
Never done air refuels on civilian jets?
No.
You just pull up behind a tanker and you're like...
What's weird is, I can't remember if they've done this, or I'm sure they have, but tankers refueling tankers.
That happens?
I don't know why it would, but...
At some point, right?
But why would you be refueling as a tanker
if
you had all the gas?
Like you can't pull from your tank that you're about to drop off your payload?
Huh. I don't think they're separate gas tanks.
What if you just?
I don't think they aren't separate. They are separate.
They have to be separate.
Well, but there's got to be some crossover pump that lets you pull from your own.
I would
fuel
hope
load.
So.
You think? I don't know. Interesting question. We'll
have you ever been in
the irony of going down in a tanker with 10,000 pounds of fuel on board
because
you ran out of gas?
That would suck. You're back there with a hose trying to siphon it.
It has to be invented just because of the embarrassing death factor. Like, fuck, are you serious? We're going to do this?
You guys didn't think of a crossover pump.
Have you?
There's no crossover.
Have you ever been in an F-16 when it was refueled?
I've been in a 135 while we were refueling F-16s, but never the other way around.
Not the opposite?
I've been in an F-16.
Did you get to go down to the little window and watch them?
Yeah, it was an old school 135, so it's the one where you lay on your stomach and you're looking out the window.
Oh, you didn't get to sit down.
No.
You had to lay on your stomach, crawl down that little that crawl space on your belly and get in there with the little joystick. Be like, here we go.
Well, I didn't. No, we were not allowed to touch the boom.
You weren't?
Yeah, because you don't want to show the boom operator that you can do his job on the first try.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be embarrassing for him.
Well, isn't it up to the jet anyway? It's not the boom operator doing the stuff, doing everything.
Yeah, it's more them than
it's
is.
It's more the jet. Well,
no, it's Top more, Gun 2, more the boom operator than the...
It is. What I saw from
Top
Iron
Gun
Eagle...
2, Top Gun 2, you had to...
Historically accurate, by the way.
I know on Top Gun 2, you had to line up the... like, you had to get...
The crosshairs?
Perfect. Yeah, and it was up to you. Wasn't the jet... You didn't really have to worry about flying the
on
jet.
On NES, yeah.
On NES, yeah.
That's a... Well, on the 16, though, you're refuel port is behind
on
the
Nintendo
the cockpit,
16,
like right in the middle.
What's
of the jet?
Movie where the tanker catches on fire? They fuck up somehow.
It's
and
not
the tanker
Iron
catches
Eagle?
On fire and blows up. I forgot what that was. Was it Air Force One?
Was it? Are you going to go see Midway? Didn't we already have that movie called Pearl Harbor?
I think so.
But Midway's a remake of the '60s movie, right?
Midway.
Yeah. I like military movies. I'll probably go see it.
Speaking of movies.
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah. Zombieland or Joker?
So that's
our Star Wars.
Well, check this out. Before we get into that. Uh-huh. So I was thinking,
I saw both of those this weekend.
A way to
Zombieland and Joker?
Yeah.
So I was thinking this weekend to stay sober after the first show so I wouldn't be a mess the next show.
What? Oh, we have to. We're corn. We just get drunk, right?
Yeah. Well,
abuse
get
drugs.
Strippers. and have strippers. To take care of us, give us temple massages with their nipples.
Tatas?
Yeah.
Or just so, cry.
I was thinking that buy tickets to a noon showing of Joker. So I know
depressed the rest of the day?
No, I need to see the movie. And
it's a depressing movie.
Yeah, dude. Well,
that movie was intense, man.
Hey, have you looked at my life outside of, like, anyways? It could only help.
No, we need you at the second show.
So I don't just go head on into traffic. You're just like, but that did it. It's all Joker.
Yeah. Of course, if you showed up and you started going, can you guys start calling me Head?
You start dancing and getting
can
hardly
thin. Guys call me Head?
And like, start, then find, like, I find Jesus. Guys, I got to tell y'all something. You know where you go if you die tonight. Because I got something to tell you.
Are you going to wear a big cross? Doesn't he wear a big cross now?
I think so. He's pretty religious now.
Yeah, so you going to wear one?
But I told you, I'm the pre-Christian.
Oh, you're pre-Christian.
Head. Yeah, I'm the satanic head.
I found out that Fieldy's very Christian now. He found God,
too. I think he's been trying to work on all of them.
This was around the same time.
So this is the weirdest thing in the world, because my dad's a religious person, right?
He's like, you guys are doing corn? I'll come see that.
He asked me about Head. Like, I don't know where he found. I don't know if what? The dude, if he came. I think he came to his church. I think he came to their church and spoke or something, because my dad was like, hey, man, have you heard of this really neat guy? He's one of those guys that you would know. He's got a bunch of tattoos. What's those bands you like? And he thought he was in Pantera is what he was basically saying. And I was like, I knew exactly who he was talking about right off the bat. I was like, he's been on a lot of talk shows and stuff. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, he's talking about Head from Korn. And then he was like, yeah, he came to our church and he bought his book. My dad bought his book and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah. Even my dad knew about the conversion.
Did your dad
head.
Have a little sit down and he read it to you?
Just the normal, hey, you should probably start going to church.
Oh, he didn't read you anything out of the book? Any passages?
No.
From?
No. Josh and I got plenty of schooling in the Bible to.
I wasn't talking about the Bible. I was talking about from Head's book.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Or should. He didn't turn
he wanted
it
to give it to me.
Head, you know? Chapter 5, verse 14.
He didn't want to give it to me. He did want to give me the book, and I was like, whatever, Dad.
You're like, I like this book.
Too bad it's Christian.
Too bad it's Christian. He threw it in his face.
Get out of here, old man.
I want your book.
Hail Satan, Mom. Give me some chicken. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
Fuck.
Later.
I'm in a band called Steadfast, assholes. Or actually, it had been I Was Once Eaten.
And we found the back door to heaven.
Did you tell him you were being Head for Halloween?
No,
did you
no,
tell him you're playing
he
this
might
guy.
Show up if I did.
Oh, you don't
Since
want him to show up?
He's never come to any of my rock shows ever in my life.
It'd be awesome. I'd love to see Mr. Stubbs.
No, you wouldn't.
It's been a while since I've seen him. I think me and him need to sit down and talk about your life.
He almost killed Seth one night.
Was that the night at your at,
That's a story
your daughter's
that everyone
party?
Has, though.
Yeah.
When he tried to drown him in the swimming pool? At the Northwestern Hills public swimming pool?
He tried to drown him.
Tried to put Seth's face down. I'm going to hold you down here until I stop seeing bubbles.
Let me tell you a story about your grandpa. Daughters?
Matt, have you ever seen your dad kill a man?
at a toddler's swimming pool at a public municipal water park?
Wait, it was a toddler pool? Second. Drown him in 3 feet of water?
Go to the lot. Go to the lot.
Stop making bubbles.
Stop making bubbles.
Twitch. I need your body to twitch.
Jesus.
No, that's what got us here.
Imagine.
Jesus.
Imagine that birthday party. Yeah, my dad went to prison because he killed someone when I was a toddler at the municipal
at
swimming pool.
At my daughter's birthday party. Oh, shit. I watched did you watch? Okay, so back to Star Wars.
Yeah. No,
Is
I haven't watched
we
the
were?
New trailer yet.
Yeah, we were going. You haven't watched the trailer yet? Oh, get ready.
Okay.
It'll
the
make
Food
you,
Fighters next door.
It'll make you cry. Like it. Did you watch the trailer on the football?
Is that the one where she's doing the backflip over the...
No, they did the final trailer. They released it during football last night.
You know what's
oh, really?
Crazy?
Yeah, it's heavy. It was like, what the fuck are you doing to me?
Uh-oh.
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm not excited
Stop
about
playing
this.
With my emotions. And then
so,
Tickets went on sale.
You know what I'm gotten in the habit of doing on Monday night and Sunday night football? And I did it on the Cowboy game. If it's more than a 2-touchdown game,
out.
I'm going to bed.
Well, that's like I got into a little.
It's like even the Eagles. I was like, I love watching us beat the Eagles' ass, and you cherish any moment. You can't. We do it. But I was like, dude, this is so enjoyable, so fun to watch. But man, there's no way they're coming back. I'm out of here. Went to bed. Then at the end, it was after the tornado. So.
So let's talk about that, because I was at the stadium, and the last thing I saw at the stadium before the game started was nice, beautiful blue skies outside. Saw some clouds out to the west as the sun was setting. No big deal.
I don't know. You could see it coming in.
And I went
right before Sharknado came in.
Well, I went downstairs to our little locker room, and as everybody's getting ready to go to their spots as the game is beginning, like everybody's phones just started blowing up with thunderstorm warning, thunderstorm warning, thunderstorm, tornado watch. And then it was like, tornado warning. What? And then all of a sudden, tornado warning. And we're like, what is going on outside?
And then the alarms at my apartments went off because one touched down like half a mile away from my place.
And you said you could see it?
Could see it. It was insane. It was the biggest wall cloud I've ever seen in my life.
So all this is going on, and I'm joking with the other photographer, Ree, and I was like, I need to go up top to the drummers and shoot some stuff with them because I haven't done it this season yet. So I'm like, yeah, we're in the middle of a tornado warning. Let's go up to the very top of the stadium where they're exposed by all this glass.
Yeah, but the worst part is let's go hang out, y'all.
Well, it never really hit bad in Arlington. It just rained.
Well, there was a second round that was at like 2 o'clock in the morning that did hit Tarrant County.
I had gotten home right before the second wave hit from the stadium.
See, it was funny because Seth and I, it had been lightning. Okay, I could tell there was a bad storm brewing because of the clouds. It was still sunny, but you could look to the west and the north, and you could see that those are really high altitude heads that are starting to shoot up.
That's the last thing I saw as the sun was setting was these tall thunderheads right off in the west. I was like,
I knew something was about to pack a punch. Yeah,
a beautiful day.
But look at the clouds.
It was such a beautiful
day. Look at
the sun. A beautiful day.
So
it was so beautiful. It was magnificent.
But then it started lightning.
You wouldn't believe it.
It started lightning about maybe 30 minutes before the game and stuff. And it was that kind of lightning where it's constant. There's never a break.
They said there was something like 3,400 lightning strikes that night.
Dude, I saw it driving home from the movies. It was
my roommate.
Driving home from the stadium.
Freaking light show.
It never stopped, like you said.
My roommate has a phobia of thunderstorms because she's not from these parts. So she freaks out anytime there's
any storms.
It doesn't
rain much in the desert.
Sorry, sir?
What happened?
Turkey.
Oh.
You're a turkey?
So
turkey's not all day.
She starts getting that. I could tell she was starting to get anxious and stuff. And I was like, hey, let's just look at it. Watch it come in and stuff. Me and Seth were watching the lightning and stuff. And it was cool because we live kind of high up. Because I live in Dallas County now.
Oh.
You live up where all the trim is?
So we're sitting there watching this storm blow
so you
in.
Can look down
and of course, like, Seth and
piece.
I start making our normal jokes. I'm like, hopefully it'll hit us and I'll die or whatever. Like,
wow.
Like, just
y'all go
all
from looking
at
trim to wanting to die?
Yeah. That's kind of the way Seth and I are on a regular basis.
Look at that hot piece of ass. I want to die.
I die so bad.
That I'll never have.
So
kill me.
We start talking about, and I tell Alif, I'm like, hey, it's not going to, it's just going to blow through because it's a squall line, and those storms usually pass through really quick, but it didn't. This was a line in front of the squall line.
A front in front of the front.
Yeah. I didn't know you were a meteorologist.
I am.
It's a skill set I didn't know you had. Is that what you tell people when people ask you what you do for a living?
Pete Dickless here. Anyway, so we're making jokes, and all of a sudden we get this, like, and it got really bad to where we couldn't even see the skyscraper in front of us, because I live in Dallas, and you couldn't even see it.
So uptown.
Like where do you live?
Like, you couldn't even see the building. It was just because of the wind and rain.
Did it blow the monorail off the track?
No, it didn't blow the monorail off. Damn. So
he looks at a monorail.
It gets really bad. The tree right below us starts like almost bending over. I'm like, whoa, this is actually a pretty bad storm. I thought it was going to be over real quick and just pass through. Well, finally, the most intense part of the storm passes through. All of a sudden, our apartment sets off this alarm. It goes beep, beep, like two or three times and then stops. And then our phones go off. Tornado warning for your area.
Did you lose power
at all? No. We lost TV connection, but not power.
That's cool.
So then we start looking. Sure enough, like I look at NOAA's radar because that's pretty much where everybody's getting most of their shit anyway. Because
that's
so
it lets you know if you need to get on the ark or not.
Yeah,
that type of NOAA.
I think it's the National Oceanic, Atmospheric
Association.
Association
of America.
That's really cool sounding. Whatever they're working on.
That is the red.
It's called tuning.
What's Scott White's band? The red something.
I can't remember
the red chord. The red.
So
you're in the red.
Anyway, sure enough, yeah, there's here. A tornado. Like they started reporting a touchdown. Not just this is a radio
from the Cowboys.
Yeah, not a
touchdown.
But it's funny because there's more shit on that.
Couldn't
actually
be. Touchdown, Austin Jefferson.
So not just a tornado on radar, an actual storm on the ground that's causing debris and stuff like that. And it was literally probably 500 yards from us is where it touched down. And it's funny because Alif goes, wow, I think I can see it. And I'm thinking, okay, you're from New York. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go out there. So I went out there. And sure enough, dude, because the lightning was still lightning.
You could see it through the lightning?
It was the biggest. And I don't think it's the biggest wall I've ever seen. I think it was just so damn close to us.
Yeah.
And you could see this huge-ass green wall cloud. That and like there was two disturbances on each side with a little bit of – with some hooks and stuff. And then one fucking hook right in the center, dude, and that was the tornado.
Was that the F3?
The F3. That was the strongest one. And then when they came out with the storm's path, sure enough, it was like 348 or Spur 348, I think, or whatever the stripper highway is, Northwest Highway, the highway name of it. It touched down right
Northwest
by there
highway.
At 35.
Harry Hunt.
And then fucking ripped through the North Dallas.
So I know from my aspect, like we just knew these alarms were going off, but we weren't paying attention because we're kind of watching the game. We're working on shit we needed to work on that I work on at the game. We're walking around shooting. We're doing all sorts of stuff, and I actually saw Doty and Mrs. Doty there at the game. But that's beside the point. But we were just running around, and at halftime, I went back to the locker room and. The DCRB director, she comes walking in and is like, looks like a ghost. And we're like, what's going on? And she's like, man, I'm just getting a call from my, taking a picture of me. And she goes, I just got a call from my husband. He's in the closet with our kids.
I'm glad you added with my kids on the end of that.
Yeah. He's in the closet with our kids. Like the alarms are going off. The power's out at our house. All hell's breaking loose. Well, you've seen the picture of Tyler Seguin's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was crazy.
She lives two blocks from that.
Oof.
Oh, she must have money.
So she's
single?
That's why she was like freaking out, because it was like shortly thereafter that that picture started popping up of that house. And she's like, God dang, that's two blocks from my house. I know where that is and everything. And then they started talking about the path because we said, fuck the game. We already had that in the bag. We were up by, like, what, 4 scores or whatever. And so all of us just started getting on our computers and phones and trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And they said it was like a 15-mile trail of debris. And the debris was, at points, was 1,300 yards wide.
Holy crap. Yeah, it chewed up Garland, too.
Yeah. They said, like today, they said there was actually 4 tornadoes, and there could be a 5th one.
Yeah.
Once the...
Well, they hit Midlothian, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It hit Midlothian, then it hit Wiley out there, and they showed another one that hit Rockwall. That's the one they added today. But they don't know the path of it yet, but that 3 that rolled through, 15 miles it was on the ground. That's insane. And that damage from it was crazy. It was just like,
wow. Yeah, that Home Depot looked like a bomb went off.
Yeah, everything looked like they had a bomb. There was a guy, I saw them, he ran a tire joint for trucks. And he's like, yeah, this is my business. It's gone. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's completely gone. But that Home Depot, that guy, that manager did a smart move. You hear about that? He saw the storms coming in 30 minutes before they hit. He told all his employees to leave. Because they were going to close the store in case storms got bad.
See, that's a dangerous move too, though. It saved them, but the thing is,
they could be on the car,
right,
driving around,
so you can get sued either way.
Like that guy that was in a car that got flipped.
No one died, right?
There's no death, no.
Which is so crazy because that storm was so much more hardcore than that one we had a few years ago after Christmas.
Yeah.
That killed like what, 7 people.
Yeah,
it's like you never know, man.
You never know. Tornadoes are so weird.
I was wishing for death so bad.
So fucking weird. You were.
What?
What? Man, this is some hot trim. Kill me. Kill me now.
Kill me. I'm just hopping around trying to get sucked up. What are you doing, man? I'm trying to get sucked up. I'm trying to.
So none of those ones down south got near you, right?
No, I was like in between. The tornadoes came north and south of where I lived, and they were.
Well, then when I got
home. They went east to west, so I just was like in the middle of the Oreo of the tornado sandwich.
Oreo.
Well, like the whole. After all that happened, I'm freaked out when I get home, and I'm like, well, now there's another wave coming. So I was just like, well, I'm going to stay up and see how this happens. And it was no big deal. It was just rain and lightning and storm.
It was crazy. It was like sideways rain, dude.
Yeah,
it
that was heavy, heavy rain.
Insane.
But I'm with you. I think storms this time of year are worse than they are in the spring.
I do, too. Especially in this area. And I think it's because the intensity of the dynamic between the cold air and the warm air is just way hugely different. And so, like in the spring, we're already kind of warm and damp and moist. And so...
I'm moist.
It's a little bit less of a transition. Whereas when it's the fall time, we have this cold-ass air coming down from the Canadians... And just hitting us upside the face.
Always blaming Canada.
Why are you calling them Canadians? I don't get it.
Well, that's where the air's coming from, the cold air.
We get beaver and tornadoes from Canada.
It's their fault.
Does it come down and pitter-patter across our land? You don't watch Letterkenny, do you?
Oh, Canada.
Are you watching Letterkenny?
No, I really want to.
Second reference I've heard today about that.
Like I've watched little parts of it on, like people have been like, check out this clip, and it's really been good, but I don't have, it's on Hulu, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't have Hulu anymore because the person that had it decided to send a dick pic to my ex, like a week out from me leaving the house, so.
I didn't send her a dick pic.
Well, you're...
Sorry.
I guess
sorry.
I should say former friend.
Oh, okay.
So.
I can probably hook you up with a login.
Yeah, I need a login, so.
Probably
any of our friends that want to give us a login.
I'll probably hook you up with a login.
Might have one.
Back to the Star Wars thing real quick.
An unsolicited dick pic, by the way.
If you go to our Facebook page.
Which is
page,
illegal now.
There's a link.
Fucktard.
There is a link. Oh, yeah. You do have to ask permission, right? Can I send you my dick?
Yeah.
Here you can.
Yeah, I give everyone permission.
Oh. It's like on your phone. You just activate
consent?
Permissions all.
Yeah. Any dick pics you want to send, I'm good.
Sure, use my Bluetooth.
Why isn't there a dick filter? Like, if something comes across that looks phallic, it has to ask you, like,
do you want to see
this?
I think there is something now that Facebook is doing where it's like, hey, if you really want to look at this.
Yeah, it's sensitive subject matter.
Yeah, yeah. So they do have some kind of algorithm that's like, that's bad shit.
So, I'm sorry, I got to move my tattoos further up my arm.
Yeah, they're sagging a little bit.
I can't wait to post this picture.
Your tattoos are going 90 years old.
What was the... back to Star Wars thing. If you go to our Facebook page,
okay.
There is a link there. You can come see. You can go see the movie with us on opening night. Just gotta go purchase your tickets.
We put a
link to the theater. No,
oh.
You buy them from the theater. But I think so far there's like 20 people going. It's pretty badass.
So is there gonna be a JJTM trailer in front of the movie?
Well, I didn't want to talk about the documentary just yet. We haven't got distribution rights, but we don't know who's going to distribute it. But yes, there may be a JJTM trailer before this particular showing. The movie. One other thing I want to talk about, and then we'll just call this shit.
Okay. Could have called it that to start with.
True. Have y'all finished y'all's beer yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Dude, I'm like so bloated. Every time you take a sip, it's like more
here.
Carbonated than
there
the
is
beer.
No carbonation in this. It's so good. Best made pickles.
This has got it. Is it now? Is this okay? It's sour, so it's like dill pickle.
Yeah. Not, you ever drank the juice out of a pickle jar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm American.
In a beer form. Drank the mushroom juice out of a penis?
You ever sucked on a penis till it came? Well, you're about to, boy.
You want your beer back?
No, I want to talk about something that happened. I'm kind of pissed I was at Arts Goggle. Because Arts Goggle was fun. It always is. It's a great day. And it was a beautiful day. It was beautiful. It was great. Tons of bands played. Got to see a bunch of people. Got to hang out with the Fort Worth family of friends and stuff. And you know what's funny? I wanted to bring this up to you. You know how everyone has a mutual friend in their group that everybody talks about?
That's usually me. Then everybody's kicking them the balls.
No. Like, they talk about them, like, more behind their back. Like, what's wrong with this guy? What's going on with him?
Again?
Still stubs.
Again?
No, I think we're pretty good. Mainly on their political opinions and their ideas and thoughts. And they're like, what's wrong with this?
It's because we're not really... Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I should open the door, but...
Oh, my God.
Our talk about Stubbs is more about, is he going to be okay?
So a bunch of conversations came up, and we'll talk about that offline. The thing I want to talk about was our buddies in NRCD and what the fuck happened to them on Saturday night.
Wait, what does that have to do with politics?
It doesn't. It just Arts Goggle brought something up to my mind.
Are we not going to talk about what came up to your mind?
I don't want to embarrass this person.
So off mic?
Yeah, I'll talk to them about
shit about them all over the place. Yeah,
I'll talk shit about
them. That's unbelievable.
That is the crate. Do you know about... Did you see this?
Yes. It's kind of hard not to.
I text him that night.
It's on everything.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
So he's a rock star now.
Oh, no response?
I was like, hey, that's fucking crazy. And I got no response. So I'm assuming he was just freaking out and stuff. So, but.
Someone trying to come in? Or the door just shut?
I think he's going to unlock it. It's probably Dave.
Probably. Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
It's really cool.
Fucking
congratulations,
awesome.
NRCD.
For those that haven't seen, somehow you haven't seen, NRCD,
locked,
which is our buddy Nick Russo and Casey, do... What is going on here at the door? They're doing a Tenacious D tribute band. And the Tenacious D tribute band... Hey, we're trying to do a show here, fucker!
Oh, New School Monkey?
Bato Monkey's in the house.
So anyway, they're doing their Tenacious D tribute at the Three Links before the show.
Oh, I thought it was after the show.
No, it was a pregame.
Oh, okay.
And if you read the article, it's in the central track. They talk about they're sitting there playing, and they had kind of an idea that it might happen, but they weren't sure. Then all of a sudden, crew and some of the backing band started walking in, and all of a sudden these two golf carts pull up, and in come...
Golf carts
coming. Kyle Gass and Jack Black and
KGJB.
Hop up on stage, played a couple songs with them, and then disappeared. Pop Smoke and left, went to do their own show. But how fucking badass is that?
It's pretty badass.
I mean, we're doing System of a Down, and I don't think any of those guys are going to show up. Man, we're doing Korn. I don't see any of those guys going to show up.
I'd be scared if the dudes from System of a Down showed up. The guys from System of a Down showed up, I'd be scared I'd get hit in the face, like, and curb stomped and
if we were
put
doing
into a coma for 2 weeks.
True.
Like Brent.
That's true. That's why I'm wearing body armor. Because I'm afraid Brent might attack me.
We should probably stop the show now and practice.
All right, well, that's fun. Hey.
All the musicians.
Dave, do you have anything you need to say political?
I'm also scared of Shava showing up.
Well, I am Shava,
Terry Shava,
so y'all are all scared of me?
You're scared of Terry Shavo?
Why are you scared of Terry Shavo?
She's dead, I think, right?
She
I think she's gone.
You know how badass you gotta be to kill yourself?
Terry Shavo.
This is no big deal.
Yeah.
You're so badass at killing people,
her, though,
you killed yourself?
I think she's gone to be with the Lord, though.
It's like, well, yeah, well, no. Well,
she's so fucking lucky.
She is?
So lucky.
You're so brutally sad. You're making me sad, Matt. You just being here.
I'm like Nathan Explosion now.
About to fucking go off on you. Everybody in their Adidas pen. This is that goddamn Russian mafia in here.
It kind of does.
It does.
We do look like the Russian mafia with all this Adidas on. All right, so this Friday night at Mass, due for Halloween show number one.
Yeah.
Mass, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then we do it again on Saturday at Andy's.
We
may or may not. We don't know. We may live. We may not live.
That may not live.
We may not make it again. We don't know.
Head to the dark side.
Tornado may come and
get us.
I haven't gone on the Christian side yet.
Where on Saturday?
Next year when we do corn again, I'll be Christian corn.
Hey, with the tornado talk, do you think it was a
pack with the devil? I should do one show as Satanic Head. And the next show is Devil Worshipping Head. Devil Worshipping Head first, and then Christian Head, and then fall overnight, off the wagon at Denton.
Overnight, you found God.
And then rededicate my life that night to Christ after.
I am second.
Yeah, I am second.
I'm second head. Your first head
I should have found
head.
An I am second shirt for the second,
you can still make
for the
one?
Second one. No, I think you can buy them, though.
Get you a shirt. Just write on it.
For the second
and
show.
Marker.
I am second.
Martyr.
Yeah.
Write on it in martyr.
And martyr.
You wear tight pants. Wear tight pants on the second show.
And then
show
be a martyr.
With a shirt.
You gotta wear
it says, I am second.
Second head.
Oh, and then that's when you have the tattoo cross on your cheek.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yes, he does. He's got a tattoo cross on his cheek.
I was telling him I'm pretty sure he's gone to my dad's church. Because he was trying to sell it. Well, he goes to church somewhere. And I think he showed up and was selling books.
His dad's got a church.
Because out of nowhere, he asked me about, you ever heard of this, the corn dog band, or the band that, the guy?
Corny dog. The band, corny dog.
All right, love you.
All right, let's get out of here. Come see us this weekend. Do it. Do for it. Halloween shows, two nights this year. You've got Andy's on Saturday, Mass on Friday. It's the only time Josh Craig gets to play.
Or that I go out.
In a band. Or that he goes out to visit people.
He's going to die soon, guys.
He'll probably die. So you need to go check him out.
At least on the second night, I'm going to die.
Yes. All right. So we're out of here. Later. Bye.
Bye.